The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
First, we're going to have a quick look at the papers. The Sunday Independent, the headline, planning rules set to be ripped up for home renovations. All sorts of things will be exempt from any kind of supervision. Taoiseach hints a tax cut to help with rising cost of fuel. That's also on the Independent. But if you look at the Irish Mail on Sunday, Taoiseach, any fuel cost subsidy will be targeted. That's what they say. So it won't be for everybody. It'll be for some. Ring of Steel to protect Oscar ceremony. That's another headline on the front of the Mail. The Sunday Times, Kinnan Associate bought tankers for Iran's shadow oil fleet. But their main headline, Martin vows to call for peace in the Trump meeting. And a little postscript to Epstein. Epstein victim was trafficked to Al-Fayed. And that's in quotes on the front of the Sunday Times. The Business Post tells us it's revealed that Goodman's global empire hits $6.7 billion a year. And we're also told that the Iran crisis is wiping €5.3 billion off Aer Lingus owner and Ryanair. Flora McCarthy is a journalist and broadcaster and is with me now to have a deeper dive into the papers. Flora, good morning.
Morning, Pat, and happy Mother's Day to you too and all your listeners who are mothers and actually daughters and grandmothers.
And even sisters, mothers who are gone, today is a day to remember them.
Absolutely, yeah. It is. And also probably a day to take a moment and remember all of the women around the world, mothers, a lot of them who are in war zones.
Sure. Now, you've been deep diving into the papers. What takes your eye?
Well, as you could predict, the papers are full of three main stories, I think. Will Micheál Martin, what will he say, rather, in the White House when he's there on Tuesday on St. Patrick's Day in the Oval Office with Donald Trump? So there's lots of speculation on that, and I think we'll talk about that in a moment. War, of course, in Iran, also in Lebanon, and the continuing crisis and genocide in Gaza by the Israelis. So there's a lot of war coverage in the papers and Oscar fever.
Oscar fever, of course, and one of the headlines suggesting a ring of steel. It is one of those American set pieces. So if you wished America ill, you might have a go at that if you were of a terrorist frame of mind.
Well, you know, there was a flurry of activity with the FBI and police in California during the week when it was suggested that there was a tip-off from the FBI to police in Los Angeles that a drone could attack from a vessel out at sea. So this has been subsequently rolled back by the FBI, but apparently the Academy has upped the security. But I'm sure there'll still be a red carpet.
Now, there is always a political dimension to the Oscars. You can go all the way back to Marlon Brando and him not turning up and sending a Native American to accept his award. So we are expecting some controversy, are we not?
Well, yeah. I mean, it'll be very interesting. I know we watch it for all sorts of reasons. The movies being one of them, the cinematic highlights. People watch to see the fashion, of course, and who is one wearing. But I really am interested in the drama that could unfold on stage rather than just on the screen. And there are lots of possibilities of that, especially at wartime. And there are no less than three Iranian people who are there tonight whose films have been nominated. So we'll see, you know, will they speak about what's happening in their country? There's also a very interesting guy, Mohtaz Maliz, who's the man who took the call in the film The Voice of Hind Rajab, that little five-year-old girl who was slaughtered by Israel. And so that film has been doing the rounds in the cinemas and getting extremely brilliant reviews. He's the actor who plays the Red Crescent emergency worker who took her call. And he himself hasn't been able to travel to the Oscars because of Trump's ban on Palestinian.
Quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
Anyway, we will be watching that with a number of points of interest. Jesse Buckley, obviously, and the other Irish nominees, but also in terms of the politics of the Oscars. We know Hollywood is generally anti-Trump, but I suspect the Academy might be a little more, bit more pro-Trump, given a lot of old-timers involved in that.
Yeah, well, they have sometimes booed those who make political speeches on from the stage. And just to say, we're talking about the 10 Irish nominees and Jesse, of course, and I'll be on the lookout for Retirement Plan, that beautiful little Irish film, which is an animated short. But also there are other Irish nominees, you know, who are part of groups. One of those is our own Jill Beecher, who has already won 2 Oscars for films, and she's up for production design on Marty Supreme and Frankenstein.
So very good. Jill. Wish her well. We know the papers are full of what the Taoiseach will say to Donald Trump if he's given time to get a word in edgeways at that Oval Office meeting. And on the road with Micheál Martin and in the air as well is our reporter Jamie O'Hara, who's on the line now. Jamie, good morning.
Pat, good morning.
You're in Philadelphia at the moment and you've been with the Taoiseach with all his entourage as he does various things. What's he up to today?
So Micheál Martin today will be taking part in the actual Philadelphia St. Patrick's Day parade. He's going to start with a media doorstep and then he's going to go on to the city's St. Patrick's Day parade, the theme of which, fittingly, is 250 years of Irish contributions in America. And this will be our, you know, our first chance to speak to the people living here during the parade, which the Taoiseach will be marching in. And there will be another wreath-laying ceremony at the statue of Commodore John Barry. He was the founder of the US Navy from County Wexford. So it's a shorter day of a series of events today, thankfully.
Now, everyone wants to know, what is he going to say to President Trump in the Oval Office? And you've been asking him the same question. What did he have to say?
Yeah, that's right. So I suppose we wanted to know what he's going to bring up. I think we think that it's mainly going to be Irish-US relations and Iran-Israel, that war, or rather the US-Israeli war in Iran. So he turned up to a festival. He turned up rather to a famine memorial yesterday morning. It was in a 10-vehicle motorcade, which was led by motorcycle outriders. Quite an impressive sight. There was about 50 people at that event, and Mr. Martin, he was keen to emphasise the importance of the Irish-US relationship during his opening remarks at the Irish Memorial. There was 2 bagpipers there, there was 3 Irish dancers. They put on a bit of a show, and of course the one thing everyone wanted to ask him about is the meeting with President Trump on Tuesday in the Oval, and then more specifically the US-Israeli war into Iran, and this is what he had to say on that.
Of course, current issues and the big issue right now is the war in Iran and the war in the Middle East more generally, and we want de-escalation. We want this brought to a conclusion very, very quickly. We want civilian lives protected and the prioritization of protecting civilian lives in a war such as this. We prefer the diplomatic route, and we would like to see a resolution of this. Iran has been a very, very repressive regime, has murdered thousands of their own citizens who took to the streets to seek to seek freedom of speech and a democratic way of life. So for quite a long time it's been a very difficult regime in terms of negotiating with or endeavouring to take away, you know, to make it absolutely clear there wouldn't be a nuclear capacity. That's been going on 20 years, but also it's become very repressive against its own citizens. But that said, we believe in de-escalation.
He believes in de-escalation. How long does he expect the meeting to be? Because we heard from Bertie Ahern yesterday that when Chancellor Merkel was in with Donald Trump, the meeting was to be an hour long. Merkel didn't get to say anything for 45 minutes. Trump went on for 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's the question, Pat, that I asked him yesterday, how long he thought the meeting would last and what Donald Trump would say to him. Everyone was wondering, well, you know, what's Micheál Martin going to say to Donald Trump? But what is Donald Trump going to say to Micheál Martin? And he started his answer by saying, ah, lads, day by day, okay? Now, then he eventually did say that he will engage with what he said was the fundamental core objective of reflecting and paying tribute to, you know, the generations of Irish people who helped to build America and continue to do so. Now, that's important, Pat, and I'm going to come back to that in a second. You know, it's a thread running through the 4 days of events here. Then he said he would be raising, you know, broader issues such as global issues, economic relationships and cultural issues. But back to that US-Irish relationship, Micheál Martin acknowledged ongoing issues in the relationship, especially in terms of business and the links between especially the EU and the US. We know what Donald Trump feels about the EU, but this is what he had to say about that.
We have a very strong critical economic relationship with the United States, and there are ongoing issues there that are evolving also. And we want to make it very clear that it's a two-way street, that Irish companies now are increasingly very present in the American market, creating jobs in the US, just as many, many American multinationals create thousands of jobs in Ireland, and that the European Union-US relationship is probably the most important one in the world, both in terms of economic, but also in terms of ultimately trying to get a more ordered world together. But the world is in a very difficult space right now.
Okay, so he's got to be careful what he says in case Trump unilaterally splashes another tariff on him. What would you say, Jamie, finally, is the mood in the entourage? Are they bullish about this encounter or are they terrified?
I suppose the feeling among the press corps here is that Micheál Martin won't be trying to lecture President Trump during their bilateral. One thing he stressed throughout yesterday and especially at the gala last night for the 255th anniversary of the Friendly Sons and Daughters of St. Patrick was the Irish influence in the building of what is now America, the charitable and cultural organization. They were founded in 1771 to support Irish immigrants and, you know, promote Irish heritage. It's 5 years older than the United States, and Micheál Martin mentioned the Irish people who signed the Declaration of Independence, who fought for independence. He mentioned Commodore John Barry, who was from Wexford and founded the US Navy. There was a few mentions of Cork during his speech too at that gala, including Stephen Moylan, who was the first person to use the phrase United States of America, which received rapturous applause and a few shouts of up the rebels. So it was easy to see where the Cork table was. But Pat, what this gala and the Friendly Sons and Daughters of St. Patrick and, you know, what they represent in the story of the Irish contribution to America will no doubt be a key theme of the meeting with Donald Trump. And, you know, a little reminder of, look who built this country.
Okay, no harm done year. There. And of course, Trump will be on his best behavior, one imagines, knowing that he is about to be invited to Ireland for the Irish Open in Doonbeg. So anyway, we'll all be watching that. Jamie, stay well and keep the Taoiseach encouraged in all his endeavors on our behalf. Jamie, thank you very much for joining us from Philadelphia. Flora McCarthy is still with us, looking in depth at the papers. Other stories that are in the papers, there's one. Off you go.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say on that one, there's a very interesting piece, Leo Varadkar's column in the Sunday Times, and he speaks about the scenario in the White House that could unfold on Tuesday. And he says, Micheál Martin needs no advice from me, of course. He's done it before and well. But he goes on then to precisely give his advice to Micheál Martin, saying he has to mention the war. I mean, don't mention the war. And I'd love to know, the Irish press corps, I hope Trump doesn't decide to have a go at any of the women there. And if he does, well, maybe let him try.
Okay, and will Micheál Martin jump staunchly to their defence?
And will the press corps walk out, as they should?
Now, there's a little story here. Nudity at the gallery. This is in the Indo. Visitors to Ireland's main art gallery complained about nudity, too many religious paintings and transgender tours.
Shock, horror, Pat. Yeah, this is a piece in the Sunday Indo, as you say, but it's by Ken Fox, who sent in an FOI on the complaints to the gallery. Now, the gallery has responded by saying that, you know, they have 5 million visitors or whatever, so the number of complaints is tiny, but it's interesting to see what they are. I mean, one person complained, I have a complaint, there's a naked Cupid. Why? My response.
And Cupid's always naked.
What would you put him in? A baby grow? Should you be wearing a nappy? But on a more serious note, they say there's a very stark absence of women among the artists, and that's very true.
Taxpayer to be kept in the dark over the prices paid to acquire land for the Metrolink. I see that in the Sunday Independent. And given it's taxpayers' money that's going to be spent on this, I can't see why that information would not be available. And if they are private houses, they'll turn up in the residential property price register.
Exactly, so you'll find that information. But this is one that is shaping up to be a bit like the Children's Hospital, you know, it'll go on and on and on. We'll still be talking about this in a decade.
Sunday Times says two HSE checks for Datalink, there's after the cyber attack. So yeah, they are concerned.
They're very concerned, and we will see a lot more of this and talk of this over the next, well, the rest of the year with the Irish presidency of the Council of the EU coming up in July. Security, including cybersecurity, is a big deal.
Well, we'll have to gear up for all of that, which is coming upon us so quickly that, you know, you think of 6 months to prepare and suddenly it's 3 months and then 2 months and then it's too late. Yeah. Flor McCarthy, journalist and broadcaster, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.